Great to have you with me on Dwayne's World, 1-300-736-736. Take your calls. Sean Higgins, North Melbourne Star, is going to join me, and a few on the speckled text as well. In fact, I'll read a few on the speckled text before we have a chat to Sean Higgins and take your calls. Dwayne Pipe, I wonder how the draft picks and trade goes. Danaher to the Swans. Well, that's the issue. If we don't start until 2021, what are team lists? This is the question I'm asking. What are team lists going to look like? Because you've got players who are essentially going to be not playing for 12 months. So do you realign your list based on the fact that some of the older guys are going to get cut and won't play another AFL game? And do you recruit, because you're recruiting from the burbs, guys that haven't played at all as well? You're going to recruit a young guy or a senior guy that might be 21, 22 that you think's all right, but you grab him from a club that hasn't played for 12 months. Dwayne Clarko's whinging now because he wants to gain to suit his team of battlers. He doesn't have the Stars anymore. The Swannies had no trouble scoring on Saturday. Yeah, I get that. Few people say that he's whinging now about the defensive nature of the game, but I'm more talking about Clarko's statement that less professionalism might be better for the players, that they get in touch with the community a bit more and actually have a better work-life balance and don't live in the bubble, live outside the bubble and understand what's going on in the real world. Can the AFL now afford to carry the Suns and Giants? Yeah, we could have a 16-team season. I'll play you the little bits of North Melbourne's football club CEO very shortly and the CEO of the Coaches Association to have a chat to Sean Higgins first, though, because Ben Amalfio's grab is an interesting little grab, saying that North Melbourne's going nowhere. Sean Higgins joins me. Welcome to you, Sean. Thanks a lot for your time.
G'day, Dwayne. Thanks for having me.
Normally, we'd have this McCafe coffee catch-up in the studio. We're drive-through people at McCafe, by the way. Coffee people, if you still want to drive through and get your coffee. It's been a weird... Well, since... When did you know, firstly? You were playing on the weekend. You probably heard all this unfold. Did you late in the game, or did no one tell you at three-quarter time when we kind of got the word that it was going to be the last round for a while?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, we weren't privy to the information at three-quarter time. It didn't take too long once we got off the ground, sung the song, and there was a little bit of noise around that potentially that was it. And as you can imagine, the state of the world at the moment, how quickly news and this sort of stuff is travelling within sort of 5 or 10 minutes, that was confirmed, and we went straight back to the club, which was the plan anyway, and it would have been to prepare and recover for round two, but it turned into a meeting with senior management to outline, I guess, the state of play, and it also was the same timing as Gil sat down and gave the press conference. So all happened really quickly, but within, to answer your question, probably 30 to 40 minutes post-game that boys were aware that the season was postponed, and I guess in some ways football will probably never be the same.
No, it won't be. And you know, that's the about to go to the callers to find out from them what they think footy's going to look like in 2021 if we're starting all over again. So you didn't get a chance to really celebrate for long, or you did get a chance to sort of celebrate the beauty of your come from behind performance. Just the simplicity of a footy win is the thing you play footy for, that half an hour after the game with your mates. You did get to actually enjoy that at least.
Yeah, look, we sung the song and we enjoyed that. In some ways, it was a strange feeling even knowing the next couple of minutes of what happened. You almost enjoyed what we had at that given moment a little bit more than normal, because most of the time your mind moves on to the next week and what do I need to do. But it was a strange feeling, Dwayne, where you have a great win, but in some ways it meant nothing, and in some ways it meant so much because it was going to be the last time we got to play for a while.
And I suppose that the situation you face with now is, what are you allowed to do, Sean, for the next week or 2 weeks? You've taken weights home, you're not allowed to go to the club at all, you're not allowed to even meet a teammate down the park for a kick, I understand. So you can go to the park and have a kick with your sister if you want, but you can't go to the park and have a kick with a teammate.
Yeah, so basically, as of yesterday, that we're not allowed into the football club, and we've got staff at the football club, although a skeleton staff at the moment, but trying to plan out what the next weeks and months look like. And look, to be honest, that's going to be fluid. It's going to be forever moving because no one really knows what the lay of the land is going to be tomorrow, let alone in 8 or 12 weeks' time. So as players, it's our responsibility to make sure when that green light does go ahead and we get the signal that it's game on, that we're in a position that we can play. But that's going to be a challenge. As you said, there's no going into the football clubs. We'll obviously have communication online and through programming of what we can do. And, you know, we've had to send guys back home if they wanted to go back home with the borders closing. And that all took place yesterday. And we'll bunker down for the next 4 to 8 weeks while still trying to maintain some sort of fitness that we're in a position, if it's game on again at some stage this year, that we can jump straight back into it, because we also don't want to waste those weeks in the lead up to that first game as well.
So everyone's going to be different, and as you said, everything's going to change in a couple of days. You just don't know what the parameters are going to be. So what's your next 24 hours or 48 hours look like? Have you scheduled some training in? Have you got a treadmill at home? Will you pound the pavement, go to the park? What will you do?
Yeah, so I'll do a fair bit of off-week sort of stuff and then slowly introduce some bikes. As all players are, manage their workload anyway, so I'll just continue to do that. But to be honest, this week's just a little bit of downtime, enjoy some family time, spend time at home as we all are. And I caught the little bit that you mentioned before, but appreciate that little bit of balance and what we have, and be grateful for that while we can. And look, we've all got families, we've all got friends who are going through difficult circumstances and times, as we all are at the moment. So it's a time to look out for others and give support and help where necessary. And this is the human side of football, I guess, being played out before our eyes, that we're all part of that as well. And family at the moment is the priority.
Footballers are lucky, Sean, in some respects, because you've got a doctor you can call if there's an issue. You've got a psychologist that you can call if you're feeling low about what's happening. A lot of people in the general public don't have that. You've still at least got access to that.
Yeah, you're right, we do. And that's why it's an important time, as I mentioned, that we look out for one another and give support where necessary, because this affects people in so many different ways and some more so than others. So we need to play our role as footballers in terms of being ready to go play, but far more important things that we look after the friends and family close to us, but also people in need. And we are, through tough circumstances, in a fortunate position that other people, unfortunately, aren't in that position at the moment. So hopefully we can give help where necessary and play our role, because it's an important role that needs to be played at the moment.
I presume there's a few players, you might be one of them, that are feeling pretty low right now about having your opportunity to work taken away, maybe for the rest of the year, maybe longer, who knows?
Yeah, look, to be honest, like I said, it's all put into perspective, really, when you only need to flick the TV on or talk to people outside of my inner workings of football to give yourself a little bit of a reality check that, although we'd love to be playing, and don't get me wrong, I'm passionate about the game and love playing, but it really is minute in the scheme of things at the moment. So that's one thing. I mean, naturally, we'll continue to stay fit and get outside and get some fresh air, but far greater things at play at the moment and priorities, and clearly football's down the pecking order of that at the minute.
So how do you go about being involved in the navigation of this pay cut situation? Because that's a negotiation that's ongoing. Do you get active in that, or do you just let it play out how it plays out?
Yeah, look, to be honest, mate, it's probably a little bit of both, given that things are just moving so quickly. So yesterday was a good example of that. It was only a number of days ago last week where we had that conference call, and although there was a matter of urgency then, it probably didn't quite seem real, because the green light was to go ahead and play. So we put our trust and support in the PA to make those negotiations for us, but also we realised that the whole football world and the AFL in general needs to make the sufficient sacrifice, I guess, and whatever we need to do as a key stakeholder, and that will do. And I think that's probably been made evident overnight.
So you guys are in a WhatsApp group, I understand. Most of the players are, where they can sort of contact each other and keep abreast of any developments. If something does change in terms of how you can train or whatever, you get an immediate alert to that from somebody else informing you?
In terms of the direct from the football club, is that what you mean?
Yeah, direct from the footy club. So if the goalposts move, if something does happen, whether it be the pay situation, players talking to each other as well about the pay situation or the training situation or advice as to, hey, you know, we're all going individually for a jog tomorrow morning, in essence. So everyone jogs individually, but you can kind of still train together, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, look, there's constantly we're getting updated and informed through email, but there's also an app that we get our training loaded onto in terms of weights and, well, it's going to be slightly different now, but body weights or activation that we can do at home, cardio work, this can all be put into online services that we can access straight away, and we can stay in contact and inform with the football club and look also to, you're only a phone call away, coaches and staff, if we need to. But the problem is that we're sort of only 24, 48 hours post that announcement. So there's a lot of work that's been getting done behind the scenes from all football clubs at the moment to make sure everyone's well-being and also the fitness of players is there. But it's a tough situation, Dwayne, because you need to tick all these boxes while you're hearing some clubs are making 80, 90% personnel stand-downs at the moment, which is really sad and hard to get your head around when you're involved at the football club, because the general public don't quite realise the number of people that are involved at that level, and, you know, 100 plus staff and then 90% of them getting stood down and they've all got families, and the flow-on effect is quite significant, and that's only at the top level, and you've got state league and then junior clubs and that flow on from there as well. So the club's trying to do everything they can at the moment to service the needs of us as players, but also staff, and then you've got members, and it's a tough situation. That's why we all need to stick together and come together and try not to isolate people at the moment.
So it sounds like, to stay motivated, that you are actually going to pull back and players are now going to just pull right back, let the dust settle. How much lead-in time do you think a player would need to get himself right to play again? If the AFL said, OK, we're going, it looks like, you know, August 1 is go time, how long would you need, do you think, to get yourself right? How many weeks would a player need to get themselves right?
Yeah, that's a good question, a tough one to answer. So sort of in my head, and this is only just me thinking, that you know, we've got that eight-week period now that we know, and we've been told that in a month's time that'll be reassessed given the lay of the land. So I would continue to put work in over the next 4 weeks to make sure that if it looked likely that we're going to return in the next 2 or 3, 4 months, then I could ramp that up and still be in a really good state of conditioning that I could step straight into that. And then also be in a position that if it was extended out, that I haven't gone too hard too early. So delicate situation, but I'm sure over the coming weeks and months we'll know more about that. But most guys stay active, like the rest of the general population, and a bit like you at the moment, Dwayne. I saw you on the treadmill, so maybe we need to take a leaf out of that book.
Yeah, and there's people, you know, you can get online and, you know, walk the treadmill or jog with other people on their treadmill. It's a different world, and the online situation is something that all of us are now exploring. That's the beauty of the modern world, I suppose. The isolation is isolation to a point, but it's not total isolation where you can't actually have contact with people. I'd hate to know what the world would be like if we didn't have mobile phones and television screens and computers to keep in touch with. So you've got a family to manage as well, Sean. So you've obviously got to be the senior figure as well for a lot of other people.
Yeah, that's right. As I mentioned before, the flow-on effect is significant for all of us, and footballers are no different. I've got a little family at home, and my wife's a school teacher, so they've obviously been impacted at the moment as well, and we've taken our little girl out of daycare, so a bit of family time, but also extended family in that as well. We're making sure that everyone stays in a good place and stays as positive we can, and as I've kept saying, it's important time that we stick together and help each other out.
Yeah, I want to talk positively about it too. I don't want to talk about the doom scenario, but I've got to ask you, are you worried about footy not coming back this year? Are you worried that, you know, the game that you love so much, you might not be able to play again?
Yeah, well, to be honest, Ryan, I haven't really thought about that too much because things are just changing so quickly, and I'd love to make sure we get back playing, because that means if we're playing, then things are progressing and we're moving in an upward trend. So that would be ideal. And for whatever reason, if we can't, well, we've got to find our way and navigate our way through that. And from all bad things, good things come. And we've got to try and make the most of a tough situation. And then, you know, the game and clubs and players will find a way through it and pick it up next year. And you can only imagine how strong the game is going to be next year when we get back playing. And hopefully that is in the next few months and we can finish off the 2020 season as well.
And coaching from the boundary, what do you think will change? What was good about the weekend's footy that you think might change forever? The shorter quarters, the coach from the boundary, anything that you thought, well, that could work long term?
Yeah, well, the coach from the boundary was interesting, wasn't it? It was funny to be able to hear so much instruction and direction from the interchange, which normally, as you know, with 40, 50, 80,000 people, you just can't hear that at all and you can't communicate. And it was clear that we could hear Shorey from the sidelines. I think he enjoyed the interaction with players on the bench as well. And not sure the game length, I think, suited some, and it was still a really good standard of football. I'm not sure your take on how did you find the length of the games? Did you think that potentially is a step forward?
I thought it was great, and I thought there seemed like there was an opportunity to score quickly. You changed your game style. I liked the way that, you know, you didn't just blast it and you spread a bit better and you tackled harder and you put more pressure on them. I liked the thought that maybe a game style can change more often in the world of AFL, as opposed to, you know, sticking to plan A and just trying to do plan A better. You know, you come in at quarter time, it's not working, let's do it better. You go in at after three quarter time and let's try and do it better. I like the fact you changed.
Yeah, so we had to flip it on its head a little bit and tighten up in a few areas, and then also try and loosen up a little bit, so to speak, in terms of our ball movement. But even just watching the different games, I've never seen momentum swings, and I'm not sure if that was the impact of no crowd or shorter quarters or teams thought that they needed to score a bit quicker. But definitely there were heavy scoring momentum swings in games where a number of teams got sort of 25, 30 points behind and then sort of flip that on its head in a 15-20 minute period, which normally doesn't happen too often. And it was interesting to watch the game. It felt like things had changed a little bit, even tactically and the way that the game was being played, and hopefully we can use some of that for the good of the game moving forward. But I do tend to agree that the length of quarters felt about right, and maybe there's something in that. And the other interesting thing, we were heavily impacted, as you know, with interchange. We had no bench for the majority of the game. Unfortunately, we had some injuries, and we're still able to find a way through that. And maybe the fact that there was shorter quarters helped that. But, you know, guys moved throughout the game. We saw Ben Cunnington go forward and impact the game there. We had guys rotating a lot more. So a few things to look at, no doubt.
Yeah, really good points. Actually, I'm glad you threw those up, because you make some really good points having watched that game unfold, hearing you now think back, and you're spot on. Hey, how does Jack Zeeble do rehab? Does he go? He can't go into the club. What does he do there? Any player with rehab problems?
So he had a scan yesterday, and from a selfish point of view from the club, the great thing is he's likely to be up and going if we do get back playing. Is great, but he'll have to be in constant dialogue with strength and conditioning team and the physios and try and do as much as his rehab as he can by himself, and then get the required treatment if necessary. But yeah, that's a tough situation. There's probably, you know, people and guys right throughout the football industry maybe coming back from injuries last year or long-term injuries, or there's a few injuries on the weekend as well. So that's another piece of the puzzle that they'll need to sort out and get right.
And a young person's mistake made by a couple of your teammates, is that the way you read it? Or?
Yeah, it was disappointing, those actions. And I guess as disappointing that was, the pleasing thing was the boys owned it, apologised to all people involved, and a really good lesson for all of us, I guess. And as I mentioned, and you summed up pretty well, young guys made poor decisions at that time that there's something we can learn from, and they own that, and they've apologised, and they've taken responsibility.
Great to have a chat to you, Sean. I really appreciate you joining me. It's a tough time for everybody, tough time for players, and that's the beauty of having a chat to people like you. You need to obviously let the dust settle, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, I think, hopefully, for all of us and for footballers as well. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Dwayne, and wish everyone all the best and stick together. Cheers.
Sean Higgins catching up for a McCafe coffee catch-up. Head to a McCafe drive-through and grab your favourite barista-made coffee today, and we'll be having a McCafe catch-up with Sean Higgins on a regular basis during this off-season and the on-season, whenever it's on.